Today we're going to continue with the teaching / preaching that we've been talking about. The Lord placed upon my heart to teach a series of sermons on understanding the new covenant. Understanding the new covenant. And I would like for you to get your Bibles and turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you have given to us. And I ask, Lord, that you would anoint your word today. Give me the ability, Lord, to share your word with this, your people, in a way that, Lord, is understandable, in a way that will set people free. I pray that you would give understanding by the Spirit of God, I ask. And so we commit this word into your hand, asking that you would bless it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Last Sunday, I mentioned to you that the Lord placed upon my heart to share this series of sermons on understanding the new covenant. And the reason why is because many times in our churches, and I'm going to be honest with you, I think it's quite widespread, many in our churches don't fully understand nor comprehend what the new covenant is all about. Many of us, when we first got saved, read our Bibles and we would read about the New Testament. If we were reading in the King James Version, if we were reading in another version, we read words about the New Covenant. But some of these things we just didn't contemplate, we didn't understand. And sometimes we can go through our Christian life and hear these things but not fully grasp the truth that is contained within this kind of subject. And it's freeing when we begin to understand what God has done in bringing the new covenant through Jesus Christ. And so last Sunday we talked about that our God is a covenant-making God. And we mentioned the Noahic covenant, how God made a covenant with Noah and with the earth that he would never flood the earth again. And when he would see that rainbow in the sky, he would be reminded of the covenant and he would never flood the earth again to destroy all life again. Now, that doesn't mean floods don't happen, but a worldwide flood that would take away all life will never happen again. Can you say praise the Lord to that? There was also covenants that were made with individuals, like the Abrahamic covenant, where God told Abraham that he would bless the world through his descendants. God made him a promise, Abraham, you are going to have a child and you will bless the world. Be a blessing to the whole world through your descendants. And Abraham and his wife, Sarah, were old and we can even say well stricken in years, like has been stated in other portions. She was barren, she wasn't able to have children, and now they were actually very, very old. But God said, through your loins, Abraham, through your wife, Sarah, there will be a child. And God would answer that prayer, and he made a covenant with him, the Abrahamic covenant, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. That was in Genesis chapter 15. Then God made another covenant with King David, known as the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, that there would always be an heir on the throne, a king on the throne, which was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. If you don't mind, just put a marker there in Jeremiah, and I want you to see the fulfillment of this in Luke chapter 1. Just turn there really quick, just to see this, as it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Just so you can see it with your own two eyes. Amen? Luke chapter 1, and look at verses 31 through 33, just so you can see how Jesus is the fulfillment of this Davidic covenant that God made with David and there being an heir on the throne. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33, it says this, "Listen," and this is the Lord speaking to Mary through an angel, "Listen, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." That is the Davidic covenant fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He reigns and rules as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Can we say amen to that? Then the Bible begins to express two covenants fivefold, but the last two are considered the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And so I want today to look at the Old Covenant for a moment so that we can begin to understand what the Old Covenant is. I've heard people teach on the Old Covenant and the New Covenant specifically, but sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I think sometimes they miss a particular point that I want to hit this morning in regards to the Old Covenant. And it is really simply this. When we look at those three other covenants with Noah, Abraham, and David, those were made to individual men, or they were made with the earth per se, that God would not flood the earth again. However, the Old and the New Covenants were made with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, the nation of Israel. And sometimes that can seem to be like a stumbling block, because if that New Covenant was made with the house of Israel and Judah, where does that leave the rest of the world? And so sometimes I've heard people, to avoid that particular train of thought, will begin to bypass that and just say that God intended to give the new covenant to the whole world, but kind of negate the fact that it was promised to Israel and Judah. But the fact that this covenant was made with Israel as a nation does not take away from God's intention to save the whole world. And so I don't want it to take away from what the scripture says clearly to try to avoid the fact that he made a promise to Israel. And so the Old Covenant, as we look at the Old Covenant, I want you to understand first and foremost that the Old and the New Covenants were mediated by two individuals. The Old Covenant was mediated by Moses. A mediator is someone that stands in the middle between two parties. Amen. Moses stood between God and man. Moses went into that holy mount to receive the covenant of God, the Old Covenant, and he was the one that brought those tables of stone, the Ten Commandments, to the children of Israel. He mediated the Old Covenant, if you understand that. The New Covenant, on the other hand, was mediated by another mediator, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that there's only one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Listen to this real fast. Moses was a shadow of what was to come in Jesus Christ. Y'all getting that? So Moses mediating the Old Covenant was a type and a shadow of what God was going to do in the New Covenant through Jesus Christ himself. And so the Old Covenant was given, and I want you to turn to Exodus, and we're going to look at a few scriptures here, but look at Jeremiah 31:31 first. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31 is where we read about the New Covenant. Obviously, if there's a New Covenant, that means that there was an old one. And so look at verse 31 of Jeremiah 31, and let's look at the Old Covenant really quick today. It says, "Surely the days are coming, says the Lord." Again, that is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. "The days are coming, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Just pause real quick and let me ask you, who's he making this covenant with? The land of Israel and Judah, right? Y'all remember, during this time, Israel and Judah were divided. Eventually, as we've seen when we studied Ezekiel a little while back, the house of Israel and Judah are going to be reunited as one again. But he says, "I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And verse 32 is our key verse today. It says this, "It will not be according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord." Think about what the Lord is saying here in regards to the new covenant as opposed to the old. The Lord is saying, "I'm going to give to the house of Israel and Judah a new covenant, but that new covenant will not be according to the old. It's not going to be like the old covenant." He describes where the old covenant is given. Look what it says here again in verse 32. It will not be according to the covenant that I made with their fathers when, it says, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, because they broke my covenant. Now pause, and it says this. He begins to distinguish the old covenant from the other covenants that we've already talked about. The Noahic, the Abrahamic, and the Davidic, which were to individuals. But when Moses came out of that holy mount with the Ten Commandments, with the old covenant, the Lord is expressing here through Jeremiah that the old covenant was given in that day that he took them out of Egypt. Do you all understand that? So that's a defining point for us. The old covenant was given at a particular place and time. I've heard some trying to express the old covenant as a bunch of different covenants all meshed into one. No, it's not. It says it clearly here in Jeremiah. It was when the old covenant was given to the children of Israel there after their Egyptian bondage in the wilderness. But then look at what happens. Whenever there is a covenant made between two parties, as the old covenant and new covenant are, there were stipulations to the covenant. How many of you remember the day when you got married? Those that are married here. And you made your marriage vows and you partook of the covenant of marriage. Whenever that marriage takes place, you vow to your spouse that you are going to be faithful to your spouse till death do you part. So help me God. Amen? And that covenant is made, and the sign of the covenant is made by putting a ring on the finger. Amen? So that means those that are looking around and wondering, they can look at your hand and they know you are taken. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why you got to wear your wedding bands. Right? Be that as it may, we all know what the covenant is and what a covenant represents. There are stipulations by both parties to one another. I am committed to my wife. My wife is committed to me. Amen. Till death do us part. Yes, we have our quarrels in the middle of all that. Any marriage that's going to have any kind of growth is going to have struggle. Amen. But a covenant is displayed in the covenant of marriage. That's why Satan hates marriage so much. The old covenant was between God and Israel, but the stipulations of the covenant were that they said, God, we will obey you. But sadly, look at verse 32, the latter part. It says, to bring them out of the land of Egypt because they broke my covenant, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. The old covenant was a covenant that was meant to be kept, but it could not be kept by weak individuals. And so the old covenant was not able to be kept. And so I want you to turn to Exodus, and I want you just to put a marker there in Jeremiah. We will be coming back to that. But turn to Exodus chapter 19, and I want us to begin to see the old covenant as it was given to the children of Israel so that we can begin to understand where the old covenant was given and to whom. But I want you to see it in the scripture. Believe it or not, this is going to lead somewhere in our study, okay? So you got to hang in there with me. We've got to see the old in order to understand the new. Exodus chapter 19, and look at verse 5 so we can see the old covenant. And this is the stipulation, verse 5. It says, Now therefore, if you will faithfully obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my special possession out of all nations, for all the earth is mine. Do you all hear that? That's a stipulation. Again, it says this. If you will faithfully obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my special possession out of all the nations, for all the earth is mine. There were stipulations in that old covenant. And they were to keep it, and they would be his possession. Turn to chapter 24 of Exodus, and let's look more at the old covenant. Exodus 24, verses 6 through 8, as we see the covenant is confirmed by Moses. Let's start reading at verse 3, just so we can kind of see the statement from the people. It says this: Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. This is all the words from God, as the Lord gave them to Moses on that mountain. It says, then all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. They're saying, we will keep the covenant. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. In verse 5, he sent young Israelite men who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of young bulls to the Lord. Then verses 6 through 8 specifically, it says this: Moses took half of the blood and he put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. He took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. A covenant had been made with the children of Israel and with God. And here in this portion, you can even hear their words, we will keep. We will obey the covenant. Do you all hear that? That's good. There's nothing wrong with this. But as we read in Jeremiah 31, verse 32, we saw that they broke it, didn't they? Why did they break it? Well, they couldn't keep the covenant. God's holy ordinances, God's law are perfect. God's law and His standard is high. But people are human and cursed and weak and frail, and so therefore they sin. You've heard the statement, let me say it once again. It says this: you're not a sinner because you sin because you're a sinner. And sin residing within the human race would bring people down. Sin came into the human race at the very beginning when man disobeyed God with Adam and Eve. Sin influenced and came into the human race. So now sin is not only outside of us, it's in us. And because sin is in us, it's the potential is there always to sin. And so because this law of God is presented to God's people, the Israelites, there in the wilderness, they will say with all their hearts, yes, Lord, I will obey you. But they're imperfect. They're not strong enough. Their conscience is weak. They're fallen. And so they can say it with all of their hearts, yes, Lord, we will obey you. But their weakness causes them to stumble and fall, and the covenant they broke. The Bible says, even though I was a husband to them. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. So we can see the uniqueness of the covenant and how that it was given to the children of Israel during this time. Deuteronomy, it's the fifth book of your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and I want you to look at verses 2 and 3. We can read verses 1 through 3 if you don't mind. It says this: Deuteronomy means the second time it was given. Deuteronomy is the second time. But it says this: then Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances which I am speaking in your hearing today, so that you may learn them and keep and do them. Notice the criteria, keep and do them. Verse 2 says, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us. We who are living now and here today. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, would not go up to the mountain. And he said, and that's where you get the list of the Ten Commandments if you want to read on. But what I want you to see is how Moses begins to bring a distinction between the other covenants and this particular covenant that he made with the Israelites there in Horeb. He says in verse 3, the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers. So he's not talking about the Abrahamic covenant. He's not talking about the Davidic covenant. He's not talking about the Noahic covenant. He's talking about a specific covenant, which we now call the Old Covenant. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I'm trying to help you understand where the Old Covenant comes from. And it says again, he made with our fathers, or verse 3, he did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, we who are living now and here today. And so Moses is bringing the distinguishing mark. And when we read Jeremiah 31, verse 31, and it mentions a new covenant, then he begins to talk about the old covenant in verse 32. He begins to help us to understand that the old covenant was given there in the wilderness, and the old covenant was the law of God. And look at verse 6, and let's just read the Ten Commandments. It says this. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number one. Right? You shall not make yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is between or beneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them, so on and so forth. Verse 11, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Verse 12, keep the Sabbath day. Verse 16, honor your father and your mother, just as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged. Verse 17, you shall not murder. 18, you shall not commit adultery. 19, you shall not steal. 20, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Verse 21, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor shall you covet your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, donkey, anything that belongs to your neighbor, the Ten Commandments. When we think about the Old and the New Covenant, we must understand that the Old Covenant was at the time of the giving of the law. The day of Pentecost was one of the feast days that the Israelites celebrated. It was 50 days after the day of Passover. Y'all remember the Passover feast was celebrated when God told Moses and the Israelites to put the blood on the doorpost. We talked about that the other day. Y'all remember that? They were released from Egyptian bondage. 50 days later, they were there in the wilderness and they received the law of God, the old covenant. We mentioned last Sunday the new covenant. On the day of Pentecost, after Jesus resurrected from the dead, Jesus was on the earth for 40 days. People saw him. They saw him for 40 days. At one time, 500 of them saw him at once. Then Jesus was taken up into heaven in a cloud. 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the same day that they celebrated the giving of the old covenant, that same day under the new covenant, instead of 3,000 people dying, as in the old, 3,000 people got saved. Praise the Lord. And so I want you to turn back to Jeremiah 31. And now in light of what we just talked about in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, I want to read verses 31 and 32 again with that in mind. It says this, surely the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And it will not be according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant, the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And so the old covenant was given during the time that they were released from Egyptian bondage, and they went in the wilderness to the foot of that holy mountain, the mountain of Moses there in Horeb. And as he went up in the mountain, he came down with the law of God, and 3,000 people died as he threw those tablets of stone, and 3,000 died there that day. In Deuteronomy, Moses mentions that God made that covenant with them, not with the forefathers. And so now we know, Lord willing, the old covenant and what it represents. And so quickly, we must understand again, how this old covenant, the law of Moses, was given to the children of Israel during that time. And real quick, before we close, let me say this. When we look at Moses and the giving of the law, we find in Moses a type and shadow of Christ. But I want you to see this really quick, and it is this. When Moses was given the law and he mediated the old covenant, he was also a type of the law himself. And there was a day, and you can read about it later on in Numbers chapter 20. I'm not going to go there for the lack of time. But there was a time when God spoke to Moses because the people were thirsty there in the wilderness. And I can guarantee you, if you were there, you would have been thirsty just like them. When you're out there in the desert land, you're walking around and there's not much water, you get thirsty after a while. They're complaining and they're saying, it would have been better we had died in Egypt than come here. And they're complaining. So Moses goes to the Lord and says, they want water. God says, okay, what I want you to do, Moses, you see that rock right there? I want you to speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. And when you speak to the rock with your staff in hand, water will come out of the rock. But Moses is angry with the people. And so he comes to the people and he says, you guys, you rebellious house, you want water? And so he gets the staff and he strikes the rock twice. And then water comes out of the rock. And they begin to fill themselves with that water. But the Lord gets angry with Moses. And he says, you didn't regard my holiness, or you didn't make me to be holy in the sight of the people. Instead, you misrepresented me there, Moses. Because Moses wasn't supposed to be angry smiting the rock. He was just supposed to speak to it. Can you imagine that? Just talking to a rock and all of a sudden water comes out? Man, that would have been amazing. But he gets mad and he strikes the rock twice and then the water comes out. There's a picture here. The rock in the Old Testament is always a type of Christ. Moses' anger and the striking of the rock is symbolic of God giving his own son for you and me and his death on the cross. But God's wrath against sin was displayed in his anger in the smiting of the rock. But what's beautiful about it is that after the rock was smitten, the water came out. Amen? But then God got angry with Moses and he said, as a result of you misrepresenting me, you will not be able to bring the people into the promised land. And what's interesting is this, Moses being a type of the law will never make you righteous in the sight of God. You will not be able to get into heaven by keeping the law of God. It will only condemn you, it will condemn me as sinners. And so even though Moses made a mistake and he wasn't able to take them into the promised land, there was a prefiguring of the fact that Moses or the law cannot save anybody. The law will only show you and me how unworthy we are, how sinful we are. It shows us God's holiness and our unrighteousness. The law of God condemns. Not because it's bad, but because it's holy and we're unholy. And so Moses wasn't able to get them into the promised land. Y'all following along all right? But God used Joshua to get them into the promised land. Joshua is a derivative of the name Jesus. Moses and the law, the old covenant, was good, but it was not able to make you right in the sight of God. You would only break it because you are sinful. I am sinful. But God would make another way through his son Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ alone are you able to be made righteous in the sight of God without any works on your own. And it's Joshua that gets you into the promised land, not Moses. And so Moses, being a type of the law, could not get people into the promised land. But Jesus, a type of the new covenant, would get you into the promised land. Amen? The Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 24 through 25, that the law is a schoolmaster. It's like a tutor that leads us to Christ. If you try to serve God under the law, it will condemn you as a sinner. It leaves you without hope. But in reality, the law of God shows you your worthlessness, your inability, and it should steer you to the one that kept the law for you, Jesus Christ. The law is a schoolmaster, Paul said in Galatians 3, verse 24 through 25, that leads us to Christ. In Romans 10, 4, it says, Christ is the end of the law. The reason why is because he fulfilled the law. He didn't eradicate, get rid of the law, he fulfilled it. Amen? And so the law was God's perfect standard, but shows our inability to keep it. And therefore shows man that we need a Savior. And so the old covenant had a purpose. It was to show man his inability to be right in the sight of God. It was to show you and me our sin and our sinfulness. It was to show us that we need a Savior. And so the old covenant was given to be kept, but was ultimately to show it would be broken. Not by God, but by man. And so God himself would become a man and would fulfill the law as a man in your and my place, Jesus being the fulfillment of the law and the mediator of a new covenant. And so today my purpose was to emphasize the old covenant, to show that it's going to be broken. There was no way for it to be kept because of our own inability, our own sinfulness. But God always had in mind to bring a Savior. Amen? Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Jesus is our answer, our hope. And he is the one that brought in the new covenant. And so, even though there's been emphasis on the old today, next Sunday we're going to continue and emphasize the new. Praise the Lord. God is a covenant-making God and a covenant-keeping God. If he's made you a promise, he's going to keep that promise. Praise the Lord. Amen. He made covenants with individuals and with the nation of Israel. And he's going to fulfill his side of the covenant. And the new covenant is a fulfillment of both sides because of Jesus Christ, the man, the perfect man. Praise the Lord. And so I'm going to leave you hanging a little bit. But I hope, Lord willing, you'll be something to stir us to look forward to the new. Amen. There was an old, it was going to be broken. But thank God he brought in a new covenant through Jesus Christ. Let's stand.